الحمد لله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. نسأل الله تعالى أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى، وأن ينفعنا بما علمنا، وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، وزدنا علما كثيرا. أما بعد، فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Again, very nice to see all of you brothers. May Allah reward you, inshallah ta'ala. Do you want to read the hadith?
An Huzaifah bin al-Yamani radiallahu ta'ala anhuma qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la tashrabu fi anniyati al-zahaba wa fiddati wa la ta'kulu fi sihafiha fa innaha lahum في الدنيا ولكم في الآخرة. متفق عليه.
Okay. جزاك الله خيرا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This hadith that was read by brother is regarding the gold and silver utensils. This is a chapter that the Sheikh Ibn Hajar, he started the chapter on utensils in the book Ulum al-Maram after he discussed the types of water, and this is all under the category of purification. And the reason for this ordering is that once a person, they learn how to find water that is pure, water that they can use to purify themselves, they have to know what type of utensils they can use to carry that water. What are the permissible types of containers that they can use to carry that water to use to make wudu or to make ghusl. So the Shaykh, he brings this chapter on the Aniya. The Aniya, and Aniya is the plural of the word Ina. In Ina, it means a container that is used to hold liquid or fluids. Something that's a solid type of container. There's other types of containers that are soft, like a leather skin, and that's called Zarf in Arabic, or it has other names. But Aniya is referring to specifically the type of solid containers that are used to drink and to carry liquids inside of it. So here in this hadith, عن حذيفة ابن اليمان. حذيفة ابن اليمان, he was one of the very noble Sahabi. He was very known for his concern about the fitan. And he used to ask the Prophet ﷺ about the fitan. He said the other Sahaba, they're worried about, they ask about the matters of good, but I'm worried about evil that will come. So he used to ask the Prophet ﷺ about signs of the Day of Judgment and the matters of the fitan. So he narrates many hadith about the signs of the coming of the Day of Judgment. So he narrates on this hadith, radiallahu anhuma, Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. This, when it says anhuma, may Allah be pleased with them both, it's referring to Hudhayfa and his father. His father was Yaman, they were both Sahabis. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tashrabu fi aniyat al-zahabi wal-fidda. Do not drink from the containers made of silver and gold. Do not drink from the containers made out of silver and gold. So here we see the prohibition, la. When the Prophet ﷺ, he said la, this is called nahi in Arabic. That means don't do something. And that means it's haram. La in Arabic means haram. So in Arabic language, when the Prophet ﷺ, he says la, it means do not do something, and it means prohibition, haram, it's forbidden. So la tashrabu, do not drink, do not use these containers he's going to describe for us to drink or to drink from them or to use them for food. La tashrabu min aniyat al-zahabi wal-fidda, silver and gold containers. So here the scholars, they say it is prohibited for a Muslim, whether man or woman, to use a gold or silver cups to drink from. If it's made out of real gold or real silver, it's haram. It's not allowed for a Muslim to drink from these containers. And the wisdom behind that we'll talk about a little bit later. But it's prohibited, it's haram for a Muslim to have a gold plate or a gold cup and to drink from it. And also it's prohibited for a Muslim to drink from a silver cup or a silver plate. This is forbidden. In some other narrations, the Prophet ﷺ, he also forbade using of silk. And he said that men are forbidden. These two things, he took hold of some silk and some gold. And he said, these two things are prohibited for the men of my ummah and allowed for the women of my ummah. So the silk, also it's not allowed for a man to wear silk or to lay down on a silk pillow or use anything made out of silk. It's only allowed for women to use the silk. And likewise the gold. The gold and the silver is allowed for the women and it's not allowed for the men. They're not allowed to use the gold and the silver. It's prohibited to use anything made out of gold and silver to drink and eat. What about other things made out of gold and silver? For example, if it's not a cup, it's a fork or a knife or even a pen. Can we use those things made out of gold and silver? We cannot. Because the scholars, some of them said by analogy, the Prophet ﷺ was forbidding us to drink from gold and silver cups, then by analogy anything else made out of gold and silver has the same prohibition. So anything made out of gold and silver is prohibited to use for both men and women, with the exception of the jewelry. Women are allowed to have the gold and silver jewelry, but men are not allowed to use gold and silver jewelry. لا تشربوا في آنية الذهب والفضة. So the Muslim, he's not allowed to use those containers to drink or eat. We come to the question of why is it prohibited to use gold and silver containers? The Prophet ﷺ here, and he says, do not eat in their plates because it is for them in the dunya and it is for us in the akhirah. So what is the wisdom behind the prohibition of Muslims eating and drinking in gold and silver utensils? One of the wisdoms, wallahu a'lam, is that when a poor person, they see gold and silver is used as money, as currency to buy things. So if somebody is using the currency to eat and drink, using something that used to buy food, they're using that as a container in which they eat and drink, then it would break the hearts of the poor people. They don't even have any gold and silver to buy food, and here's somebody using it to eat and drink. So they would see that and it would break the hearts. As the brother said, it would be a form of arrogance towards the poor. So that's one of the wisdoms that the scholars, they mentioned. However, other ulama, they gave another reason. They said that gold and silver is the currency that circulates in the economy. And if people were to take gold and silver out of the economy and use it to build utensils and things in their household and build and make decorations or make containers and cups, all of this gold and silver will be taken out of circulation and will become stale or stagnant in the houses of the wealthy and the rich. And all of this wealth will be piled up and amassed inside of the houses of the rich and will not be circulating amongst people. And the economists, they state that when money is not being spent, when it is being amassed and hoarded in the hands of the rich, then this will cause the decrease in the economic activity of a society. And that societies are successful economically when people spend, when they use the wealth and they spend it and they don't hoard it and save it. This is the economist can tell us that. Brother Muhammad is in the back, he can confirm this for us. So the wisdom, Allahu A'lam, some of the ulama they mentioned, is that by the rich taking all of this gold and silver out of the economy and putting it in their homes, building expensive, building items, household items, cups, plates, decors from the gold and silver, what would happen? There would be less money in the economy to circulate, less wealth circulating in the economy, and this would stagnate the economy and prevent growth of the economic system. So they say that this is perhaps one of the other reasons behind that. One of the questions that comes up is that, and of course the prohibition of gold due to the arrogance, but the question, and there's a third wisdom behind it, wallahu alam, and this is related to the prohibition of silk for men. Does anybody know why silk has been forbidden for men?
Because it makes you feel godly if you're...
Then why are women allowed to wear it then? See, if that was the reason, then women would not be allowed to wear silk as well. There's another reason. Yes, it's soft and it's feminine. So what happens is the scholars, they say that if a child or a man becomes accustomed, very good, Brother Hassan, if a child or a man becomes accustomed to the soft things of life, sleeping on soft silk and wearing silky clothing, then what happens when it's time to go on the battlefield and to be a man and be strong, and he has to sleep on the ground and eat, you know, barely eat food? If he gets accustomed to this softness and gentleness, then how is he going to have the strength to go on the battlefield? Yes, and they mention stories about this, that when people who become accustomed to this comfortable type of clothing, they won't have the strength to go in peace of Islam and defend Islam, because they would have been so softened to the luxurious things of life. So this is another wisdom also behind gold being prohibited for men, is that men wearing gold, it's effeminate. It's something that women, traditionally women, they wear something that's attractive for women. So if men wear the gold, then it's also something that is becoming of women and not becoming of men. So that's the third reason, wallahu a'lam, why it is prohibited for men to wear gold and silver. So then you have a question, is why is it allowed for women to use gold and silver if it takes money out of the economy and it breaks the hearts of the poor? So we have that issue also that comes up. And here the scholars, they say the reason why it's not prohibited for women, and Allah knows best, is that one, that women, when women, if it was prohibited for anybody to use gold and silver for utensils, for jewelry, for anything, then what would be the use of gold and silver? It would lose its value altogether. And then the whole economy, nobody would want to buy and sell because the gold would have no value. It's not allowed for jewelry, it's not allowed for anything. So it has to have some usage, permissible usage, otherwise it would lose its value altogether. And another reason, wallahu a'lam, is that women, they use the jewelry to beautify themselves for their husbands, and it's not used as a form of arrogance towards the poor, but it's used to beautify herself for her family, for her husband. We have another question, which is, if wearing gold and silver is a form of arrogance, then why is it allowed for men to wear, say for example, diamonds? If a man had a ring made out of, say, platinum, and they put a huge diamond worth $1 million, sometimes these gems and rubies can be worth much more than gold and silver. Why is it not prohibited to use the gems and the jewels for men? And only gold and silver is being mentioned in the hadith.
Because it's dumb.
Yeah?
Just
dumb. There you go, the brother is getting good answers today. It's a stone, and most people, especially the poor, they don't consider a stone to be so valuable. When they see gold and silver, they feel that in their heart because it's used as a currency. But a poor person, generally speaking, the poor, they're not going to differentiate between $1 million ruby and a stone that doesn't have any value. That's not something that people use as currency. So it doesn't break their hearts as much as it would to see gold on somebody wearing gold. It wouldn't have as much of an effect on the hearts of the people. And also getting back to the idea of why women are allowed to wear gold, Gandhi, the Indian activist, he went to the British Parliament and he brought two sheep with him when he went to request independence for India from the British government. So they said, how are you going to eat? Because the British, they said, we're helping you develop your country, we provide, help you have food. He said, whatever food I need, I have with me. I brought my sheep here, I can milk it and drink the milk. I don't need anything from British government. So then he said, they said, you need the help of the British to support your economy. So Gandhi, he said, Indian women have in their houses enough gold to support the economy of India for 50 years. And it's true. Some women, they have kilograms of gold in their house. And that gold, the fact that women keep that as jewelry, is a security for the economy. But by having that money, that Gandhi was saying, we don't need the support of the British. We have enough gold and silver in the houses of the women to take care of our own economy. And perhaps that's not an exaggeration. Because recently they found in some places, in some temples and things, enough gold that literally could support the whole economy. Billions of dollars of gold that they really saved in certain places. So there is a use for gold in the sense that the permission of women using gold as jewelry has an economic benefit for the society. في آنية الذهب. في آنية الذهب والفضة. Okay, and there's a fourth reason. ذهب and فضة. That is prohibited to use it. And the Prophet ﷺ, he gives a reason in the hadith itself. He said, it is for them in the dunya and for us in the akhirah. Who is them being referred to in this hadith? The non-Muslims, right? Because he said for us, and when he's saying us, he's referring to the believers, the Muslims. So then the only thing it could be referring to is the opposite, which are the disbelieving people. So here the prohibition of gold and silver is related to a Muslim not being completely indulged in the dunya and having concern for the akhirah. And people of the dunya, they're the ones that spend their entire lives accumulating and piling the gold and silver of this world and making the utensils and eating and drinking from them. But the Muslims, they believe in the akhirah. And so that should be a reason for them not to be to take these utensils and decorate themselves and use them in order to boast and to become proud of them. You know, they should use it only for permissible uses. So وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا فِي صِحَافِهَا, and do not eat in their plates. Now we have another question, which is, if gold and silver are forbidden to use in any usage, even if we use it for a watch or for a pen, then a lot of times you have watches that are gold plated. Right? They have the watch, it's not pure gold, it would be very expensive, but it's gold plated on top. Or you have silverware, fork and spoon, it's silver plated on top. So what is the ruling on those things? Are they come under the same prohibition?
Yeah.
Of gold and silver.
SubhanAllah.
Brother Hassan is a very good student. He's bringing, mashallah, good reasons. Number one, if somebody sees somebody wearing the gold-plated watch, he might think it's made out of real gold. And so he'll think that person is doing a sin, or he might be encouraged himself to go get a real gold watch. So they'll think that somebody is doing something. So even if it's gold-painted, actually, this is, even if it's not even gold-plated, say it's just gold-colored, the scholars say one should not wear a gold color watch because somebody else might think it is gold, it is real gold. If it looks like real gold in terms of coloring, a paint, then they should avoid that because somebody might look at it and think that he's wearing the real gold. So he'd think that he's doing a sin, and then that person might be encouraged to do a sin. That's a very good answer. However, the gold and silver plated in itself, say it's a fork and it's silver plated, is it allowed to use that or not? Some ulama, they say it's not allowed whatsoever because it's the same, comes under the same heading. Whether it's silver or silver plated, it still comes under the same heading as using silver and gold utensils. However, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, who was one of the very, very pious khalifas that came a few centuries, he was from the He was from the grandchildren of Umar ibn Abd al-Khattab. He became the Khalifa, and he was famous for his zuhud, his abstinence from the dunya. He didn't want any of the riches of the dunya. He was a very righteous, he was a Khalifa and a faqih, a scholar. He had a tremendous amount of knowledge. And when they elected him to be Khalifa, he cried. He didn't want to become the Khalifa. He had so much piety. And he was a big scholar in Medina. They made him the Khalifa. And at that time, the Khalifa was in Damascus. So they wanted to, he went to Damascus, or he saw in the Damascus, the masjid, the great masjid of the Umayyad masjid in Damascus, that on the walls there was writing made out of silver. So he said, this is prohibited, because the Prophet ﷺ said, don't use gold and silver, and any usage, even writing on the wall, should not be allowed. So he gathered the fuqaha and the scholars, and he said, what is the ruling on this? They wrote on the walls with gold and silver, and we don't want to be going against the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So the scholars, they made the ruling. They said, take the writing and scrape it. If when you scrape it, if you can get some gold and silver out of it, if it becomes something that you can weigh and has value, then that's gold and silver and you have to erase it. But if you scrape it and it just becomes dust in the air, so thin that it just dissipates in the air, then it's not gold and silver. It has no value and you can leave it on the walls. So they went and they checked it and it just became like dust. And it didn't have any weight to it. So then they left it on the walls. So the ulama, they state that if you take the item and if you were to scratch it, if you were to get some weight of gold or silver from it, then this is too much, it's forbidden. But if it's so thin and so light that it just dissipates, then it is permissible to use that. And another way they determine whether it's permissible or not is if you put it in a fire. And if you put the gold and silver plated item in the fire, and the gold and silver it becomes liquid, then they said this is haram. This is a weight of gold and silver. But if you put it in the fire and it becomes black, then this is not enough gold and silver and it's allowed. So they differentiate between gold and silver color and gold and silver plated, where it actually has some amount of weight to it. So that would be the ruling on like a watch, for example. If the watch had enough gold and silver that if you put a fire on it, it would drip off, then that is not allowed. But if it's so thin that it just turns black, then this is something that is allowed. Wallahu a'lam. فَإِنَّهَا لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَلَكُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ It is for them in the dunya, and it is for you in the akhirah. In the akhirah, on the day of judgment, and in the paradise, of course, people will wear the gold and silver jewelry in the paradise. It is allowed for them in the day and the akhirah. Okay, and this hadith is agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. Both Bukhari and Muslim, they say it's an authentic hadith. Any questions they have? Fin akhir. Yes, so the silk and the gold and the silver will be permissible for the Muslims in paradise in general. But in this world it's not allowed for men to wear silk unless they have an illness. Somebody's sick, I believe it was Uthman, who had scabies or some kind of itching on his skin, and so he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, can I use silk because my skin is very itchy? And he said, he gave him permission to use the silk. So for medical reasons, if there's a medical patch or something that needed to be made out of silk, then it's permissible and it's allowed for the person to use in that case. And what about gold and silver teeth, for example?
Well, Brother Alcock wanted me to answer this one. I would think it too would be from a medical reason too.
MashaAllah, Brother Hassan is a very good student. If you need it for medical reason, because the Sahabi in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, he got injured and his nose actually got chopped, got cut. So made a nose out of some metal, but it became rotten. It got germs in it. So then he asked the Prophet ﷺ, "Can I make the false nose out of gold? Because gold it doesn't become rotten as easily." So the Prophet ﷺ gave him permission to do that.
Right.
Yes, it's more hygienic. So he said it's okay to use it. So if somebody, they need to have the gold tooth because other types of metals, they'll get bad or they'll get carry germs and bacteria, then it's allowed. But my understanding is some people, they get the gold tooth just for show, for decoration. Brother could tell me. Some of the rappers, right? They'll put like gold teeth just for decoration. And then in this case, is it allowed to do that? No, it's not allowed. Not allowed to do it. You don't have any, right? Okay. No. So the gold teeth and the silver teeth are only allowed for medical reasons, not for beauty, for beautification. So using that, it's not allowed. Now, also for women, one other last thing we'll talk about is women are allowed to have gold jewelry and silver jewelry, but can they have gold utensils? Because women, they're given an exception, right? They can wear silk and they can use gold jewelry. So can't they use silverware, real silver and golden cups?
Hang around the neck.
That's right. It can only be for use for jewelry reason, decoration. That's the only exception. But even a woman, she's not allowed to use gold plate, or even like sometimes they make kohl, they have something made out of gold or silver to put on the eyes. They're not allowed to use those utensils due to the general prohibition of using anything made out of gold and silver.
Yeah. How much makeup? Some makeup have gold in it.
Really?
Yeah.
SubhanAllah, I never...
You know,
they put the makeup on and wash it off after?
Yes. And it's got some percentage of gold. Very, very small, but it does.
It's like a dust.
Well, I mean, the women are allowed to use gold for decoration. However, the question here is it israf? Yeah,
some
they're putting gold.
Queens, they use gold.
I see. If it's either harmful or it's israf, that's one of the other things. Is that gold and silver, using it for the house, the decorations, and using it for cups and plates? This is israf. Wasting the resources of a Muslim. And the Prophet ﷺ, he taught us to make use of every resource in an economic way. Even he saw some Sahaba dragging a dead sheep, and he said to them, why don't you go and make use of its skin at least? They said it died, it's meta. He said, at least take its skin and make use of its skin. So even he didn't want to waste a single sheep. So if Muslims, they understood this principle of economics, they would not make all the israf for things, you know. And so using the gold and silver for some, if it's a lot of money for those types of makeup, then it might come under the heading of israf. But Allahu a'lam about just wearing the gold and silver. The women are allowed to do it, wear it in general. Yes,
what if you wear a silk tie, like if it's part of your sleeve?
Yes, the silk tie, it comes under the heading of the silk. So you can get a tie that is not made out of silk. You can get what I found actually is that the ties that are clip-on, they don't make them out of silk. So you can clip it on. Yeah, the quick tie. They're not made out of silk. Only the ones that you wrap around through all the knots and things, they're made out of silk. So if you want, you can find the one that's not.
I think that's
like if it's part of your
school uniform, like you have a school tie. Oh, a specific color. No, like they actually give you a tie and it's made out of silk.
Oh, it's already made out of silk. Well, the other thing is that...
It could be a Christian school,
a couple of angles to that, yeah. There's a few... Few angles to this. One is it true, real silk, because there's artificial silk. So I believe some of the ulama, they differentiate between the artificial silk and if it's really silk made from, the pure real silk. And the other angle is that, you know, can you get an excuse? I think also if it's a small amount or small percentage of silk, not all silk, but only a small percentage, then it might be excused. But generally speaking, if you can avoid it, you know, that would be better, inshallah. And as the brother said, you know, one should be careful, because wearing the clothes that are specific to non-Muslims is not allowed. So if it has any religious symbolism on it, cross or anything, that definitely we're not allowed to wear it. That should not wear that. Something like that. Any other questions? Shall not? Yeah. Sorry? The only exception, Imam Shafi'i said that a person can wear a silver ring, because the Prophet ﷺ, he had a ring made out of silver that was made for him. He used to stamp his letters that he sent to the kings, give them dawah to Islam. He had a ring that said Muhammad Rasulullah on the ring, and he used to stamp it. Yeah, it was the official stamp of Nubuwwah of the Prophet ﷺ. He would use that ring and put the stamp, seal the letters with that ring. So some ulama, they said the men they're allowed to wear a silver ring, not silver jewelry, not necklace, not earrings, any of those things. Only the ring. And other ulama said even the ring, it was only for the Prophet ﷺ, because he was a khalifa, and he needed that ring for official purpose. So he said, they say anybody who's a khalifa or needs it for official purpose, he can use it, but it doesn't need to be used in general. But the Imam Shafi, he said any men are allowed to wear a silver ring. There's no harm in that.
Translation, brother, they can make a ring and make a muhar out
of it. Allahu a'lam. You can use it, yeah. If you have that use for it, you can print it on there. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. Any other question? Alhamdulillah. No. It is for them in the dunya, and it is for us. Them again is the Prophet ﷺ is distinguishing between the believers and the disbelievers. Them are the non-Muslims, and us is the believers. So this shows, also reminds us of the brotherhood of the Muslims. That we are us, and by implication, all the Muslims are together in one category, and they're the ones who have the akhirah. They have the success in the akhirah, and the disbelievers, they don't have that success on the day of judgment in the akhirah. There are some narrations that say whoever drinks wine in this world, they'll be forbidden it in the akhirah. And likewise, the scholars say it applies to everything prohibited. Whoever wears gold in this world, they'll be forbidden it in the akhirah. Whoever does things that are haram in this world, from the things that are prohibited of this world, if they do it here, they won't get it in the akhirah. So may Allah, alhamdulillah, give us the greatest rewards in the akhirah, inshaAllah. May Allah accept from your fasting. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa sallam.